This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. You're listening to Power Talk, 9 a.m. to noon.
Yeah, let's go to Senior Researcher at the CSIR, Dr. Suleiman. Good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Lacuna. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, as often when the president makes these adjustments, we look to you at times to make sense of the numbers and the decisions. Do you think the move to level 3 at this moment matches the numbers that you are tracking on COVID-19?
Yes, I believe it does. If we look at the epidemiological trajectory and all of the data and indicators, we do see that the situation across South Africa has stabilized. In terms of the number of COVID-19 infections that we're reporting daily, nationally, that's just over 12,000 per day on average over the past week. And that figure is down from the peak that we were at almost 20,000 a day 2 weeks ago. So we're down to about 60% of that peak. Gauteng has certainly peaked in all of its neighboring provinces. And certainly, if we also consider the test positivity rate, which is on a downward trend, now still high, but starting has certainly passed its peak. I think the data does suggest and give evidence that the move to level 3 is justified.
I mean, Dr. Suleiman, you touch on something that I wanted to ask you about. I mean, what does it tell us? The test positivity rate, I mean, 26.6%. One would suggest that it is indeed still high. Some people want to have it contained at below 10%. What does it tell us, and how cautious should we remain with the test positivity rate as high as that one?
Yes, it's a very important indicator to track, particularly because of our testing strategy, which is one in which people present for testing when showing symptoms. So the test positivity rate is useful in quantifying the number of cases that we are reporting on a daily basis in relation to the number of tests that we do. So it's a function of the number of positive tests to total tests conducted. At an average of 26% nationally, what it means is that one in every four tests that we're currently conducting is returning a positive result. So that is a very high rate. We do certainly need to bring that much lower. Below 10% would certainly be a lot more comfortable, but we need it below 5% in order to have the pandemic under control. I think the promising and hopeful sign, though, is that it is on it has turned the corner and is moving downwards now, having reached a peak of just in excess of 30% a week ago. So hopefully this downward trend may continue.
Absolutely, and we hope that it does. In terms of, you know, the provinces, the pandemic, you know, plays out differently. Some provinces were quite late onto the third wave if compared to Gauteng. Which provinces are still a point of concern in terms of the numbers, Dr. Suleiman?
Yeah, so certainly the provinces vary in terms of the timing as well as the severity of the different waves. We know that Gauteng has peaked, as well as the neighboring provinces of Northwest, Mpumalanga, Limpopo. They're all showing a downward trend. What we do need to watch out for still is the three big coastal provinces. In Western Cape and Eastern Cape, although the number of new cases has slowed, it is still increasing ever so slightly. So Western Cape showing an increase in new cases of 6% week on week, and Eastern Cape 4%. So they're on a bit of a plateau, but still increasing, and hopefully they'll actually peak and start to turn around soon. The other province that we're not really sure what's going to happen is KwaZulu-Natal. Because of the decline in significant decline in testing last week due to unrest and rioting, we had a significant decline in the number of reported cases. We're now back up to pre-unrest periods in terms of the number of reported cases in KZN, increasing by 50% week on week. But we need to watch the province over the coming week or two to see what will happen and whether those gatherings had any impact on the epidemiological trajectory in that province.
Absolutely. I mean, talking about gatherings, Dr. Suliban, something that we often hear from restaurants is, you know, a complaint that the science isn't quite presented to them as to why they are always targeted when, you know, the pandemic is at its peak and they are usually closed and not able to conduct business in the way of sit-ins and all of that. What do we know about, you know, closed environments such as restaurants? I mean, and I say closed in very loose terms because others may have, you know, outside sitting and so on. But why is it that restaurants, to your understanding, become part of the equation in terms of the places that must be shut down as a way of managing this pandemic?
So the various studies that have been conducted internationally and all indications are that the number one risk for transmission remains gatherings, which can become super spreader events or turn into cluster outbreaks, and particularly gatherings that are indoors where people are in close contact and where ventilation may not be as good as outdoor settings increases the risk. So unfortunately, any type of gatherings, be it restaurants, be it indoor meetings or even social gatherings indoors, the risk is increased. And the more people that do gather, the higher the risk that that event can turn into a super spreader event, and that could result in a higher transmission of the virus. So that unfortunately remains the number one risk, and therefore we do need to monitor that and try and reduce the opportunities for super spreader events by limiting gatherings.
I mean, now let's look at some stats on vaccination. The president still saying, you know, he would love to see that number hitting 300,000 per day in terms of people who get their jabs. But the Department of Basic Education giving us some hope in terms of that sector, saying that they've managed to inoculate 89% of the envisaged over just 580,000 people. How is our vaccination drive going? Are you quite happy with where we are as a country?
It certainly has sped up over the last couple of weeks. We've inoculated over 6 million people with at least one vaccination dose thus far. That means that over 10% of the total population of the country has at least received one vaccination dose. And as you've indicated, the education sector has gone on a significant drive and vaccinated a large proportion of the teachers, so hopefully they'll feel more protected as they return to schools today. Generally, we will probably see that the vaccination program will continue to speed up as the number of doses that have been received in the country increases. So the supply is certainly increasing, and there was also an indication that the cohorts of over 18-year-old will soon be able to receive their vaccination dose from September, as announced by the president yesterday.
Absolutely. The Gauteng government, though, Dr. Suliban, seemingly worried by those who are 60 and above, that there was good uptake at some point, and then they saw that regressing to a point that, in fact, now they are encouraging people over 60 to come out and receive their jabs. It seems as if vaccine hesitancy has taken root in that age group. Any idea what could be the driving force behind that?
I'm not too sure, to be quite honest. I think, though, at this stage, as long as we know that vaccination does reduce severe illness or hospitalization and death, so those most at risk and those with comorbidities should be offered the vaccination dose to protect them from severe hospitalization as well as death. And I think as long as we try and reach that target, we could at least reach some sort of normalcy in terms of day-to-day activities.
In fact, we talk a lot about, you know, some population immunity that we need as a country. I mean, globally, every country is trying to arrive at this. But on the real, though, understanding how COVID-19 works, Dr. Suliban, how much confidence will population immunity give us to return back to some semblance of normalcy?
It's difficult to say. Look, I'm not a vaccinologist or medical expert, so I do need to put that out there. But I think we do need to realize that we probably won't reach this population immunity by vaccination alone. The reason for that is because the reproduction number or the R0 of the current variant, the Delta variant, given that and given that vaccines are not 100% efficacious, you probably need to, or mathematically, you need to vaccinate over 100% of the population in order to reach that population immunity target, which is practically impossible. But hopefully a combination of that with natural immunity will lead to some sort of normalcy. We of course, don't know what's going to happen in terms of the mutation and possible future variants. Yeah. We don't know the efficacy of vaccines, how they will be on any possible future variants. So there's a lot of unknowns. And so there's a lot that we still don't quite know just yet. So I think we do need to bear in mind that that the likelihood is that this virus is here for a long time. We just need to try and manage it as best as we can in terms of trying to go back to that normalcy and normal day-to-day activities.
Absolutely. Dr. Suleiman always helping us understand the numbers there on the Twitter streets and, of course, via interviews such as this one. Thank you so much for making time for us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, that's senior researcher at the CSIR, Dr. Ridwan Suleiman there.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.